There we go. I'm going to call to order a meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board for Wednesday, July 15, 2015. And may I have a roll call?
Vice Chair Schultz, I interviewed this right off the get-go. Everything's in the microphone.
Vice Chair Schultz.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Director Brown.
Here.
Thank you, Rick. We are beginning a new era at the district. We have HD video that is televising this, so I'm sure we will all be on our best manners, and we will be respectful of one another, and we will enunciate and speak into the mics. Correct, Bob?
Correct.
Very good. All right, let's move on to public comments. Do any members of the community have any comments on any items that are not on this agenda? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I follow your district fairly closely. And Saturday night, I checked your website, and the agenda was posted over the weekend. The agenda was posted with the wrong date. The district did not cure that until after the 72-hour window began for noticing a meeting. So, in my opinion, this meeting is not posted, was not posted properly, and with all due respect, I don't think you can take any action. I suppose we could have some discussion, but just to be safe, you wouldn't want to take any final action, certainly anything that involves money. Because if someone was devoted like I am and picked up that Saturday night agenda and never went back to your website to find that it had been corrected, they could be coming to this meeting place this coming Friday, which is the date on the agenda that was posted on the Saturday night. So I'll leave this with your counsel because
yes, please
got
do.
A question mark on her face.
Now, please give that to her. Hang on a sec. Let's get some clarification before we go further. So you have a question?
Amy, when was the date corrected? Before 5 or in the morning or? Okay, thank you.
Okay. Please. Legal counsel. Did you need more time to?
Yes, I'm looking at the statute right now. So just based on the, and can I have just 1 minute? I'm going to ask Amy a question.
Yeah, why don't I do that? Since we're not taking any actions and we are doing public comment, we will go ahead and take more comments and then we'll come back to this item. So next person, please come up and state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And unfortunately, this date matter may seem relatively minor, and in the scheme of things it is, but it is a Brown Act violation, first of all. But moreover, it's symptomatic of its larger issues. And unfortunately, Mr. Sweet, I think, just has too little time to perform the functions that this board needs and to pay the kind of attention to detail that is imperative for this board, given the many moving parts and many issues it's facing. So I have to take issue with the larger agenda and what's in it and, more importantly, what's not in it. For example, we seem to be revisiting items that were already decided under 5B, and this is the Oceano billing. We'll get more detail later. The emergency action, I thought your board took action on that last time. Why is it back on this agenda? So the question becomes, why aren't the important things on this agenda instead of the unimportant items? And I think, again, it reflects on your staff. And again, perhaps Mr. Sweet just doesn't have enough time. So I believe that this district at this juncture needs to secure a full-time general manager, one that can focus on the detail. Furthermore, you're looking for permanent legal counsel. You have interim counsel in the Brownstein firm now. And I'll talk about the Brownstein bill during cash disbursements. But I will tell you this, that the RFPs that went out for permanent counsel were flawed. Two of the RFPs were sent to counsel the Adamski law firm, which represents the OCSD, and then, of course, the Carmel firm, which represents Rio Grande. This is common knowledge. These kinds of mistakes simply cannot be made. So given the totality of the issues and circumstances, I think this board definitely needs to make some changes and make them as soon as possible. Thank you.
Mr. Edwards, is there anyone else that would like to address the board?
Good evening, Patty Welsh, Rio Grande. I was a little shocked to see a lawyer bill for $13,500, basically, for rules of decorum. It seems as though I got up and spoke. Another member of the audience didn't like it. She got up and spoke and said that this board should not have allowed me to speak the way I did and that you needed rules of decorum. There were already rules of decorum on the books. I didn't hear the board ask for that to be done. And for Miss Lucy to now have rung up a $13,000 bill, I think was very inappropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close public comment. And before we go any further, do we need to take a five-minute recess to give legal counsel more time to reconcile and come up with? Okay. So why don't we do that? Let's take a five-minute break. Okay, we're going to reconvene the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board meeting. And so I'm going to go to legal counsel at this point. Jenna?
There is a notice requirement in the Brown Act, and that requires that the time and location of the regular meeting be posted on the agenda. However, in this case, we have the actual date was wrong on the agenda, and that was later cured. But on the website, it did say Wednesday, July 15th, and then you clicked into that meeting, and it said Wednesday, July 17th. Additionally, the Brown Act, Section 5.54960.1, does have a substantial compliance safeguard. So action taken in substantial compliance with Section, the notice requirement, does safeguard it against being nullified or found void. So in this situation, I do believe that it was cured when it was noticed, and it was done in substantial compliance with the Brown Act. I think it was also on the page that this was posted. It also states that meetings are held on the first and third Wednesday of the month.
Okay. Thank you for that opinion. And Any of the board members have any concerns with that determination? Okay. Then let's move forward. So let's take the consent agenda. These are routine items that are typically considered as a group for, and there are two items on consent tonight. The first is 3A, review and approval of minutes of July 1st, 2015. And the second is review and approval of warrants. Do any members of the board want to pull any items from consent?
No, but I'm going to abstain some 3A. I wasn't here.
Yeah, I wasn't here either, but you might want to check with legal counsel. I think last legal counsel said that we didn't need to be here in order to approve minutes, but you can check on that. I don't think it's a terrible thing if we wait till all three members are here.
Okay.
And then on the warrants, I'd like to pull the bill by the interim legal counsel just for a brief comment.
Okay. So then it looks like you're going to pull item 3C, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then as far as item 3A, I'm not sure, the two of you seem to not be comfortable, and there's no reason. We can actually continue that item to the next meeting and have the board members that were in attendance act on those items, correct?
Correct.
We have consensus on that?
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, let's then move to item 3C, which is review and approval of warrants. Director Brown.
If you could just go over with me, I know the warrant itself does not break out your individual time for different items. So this bill is not just one particular item. It's for all the things that you did for the district within the last month.
That's correct.
Okay, so based on the conversation that you and I had, I'm respectfully requesting that you review the bill with the partners and determine how much of the bill was related to the time spent on the decorum issues, because I don't believe that was a board action in total. It was a suggestion, but it wasn't an actual formal action. So I'm asking that you respectfully consider reducing your bill by the amount of that particular item, not everything else, but that particular item. And I understand you can't make a determination, obviously, tonight on that issue, but I'd like you to take that back to the powers that be and discuss it.
Well, let's see where the rest of the board are on that. Thank you for that suggestion. Board Member Lucy.
No, I'm fine with the way the legal is the way it stands. I have no problem with thinking forward and putting a decorum in place.
Okay. So let me open this up to the public. Do any members want to address this item before the board?
Debbie Peterson from living in the city of Grover Beach. And I have two questions related to the consent agenda. The first one is, I think it would be useful to the public to be able to see that breakdown of that legal bill. I'm not sure about the process of doing that, if you have it here tonight or not, or if I need to make a public records request, but that's something of interest. And also, I just wanted to make a comment on the minutes, which stated that I was opposed to a decorum policy. And in fact, that's perhaps a little bit confused as to what my position really is. I'm in favor of decorum, and I'm in favor of policies. I wasn't in favor of a policy that could lead the district into litigation because it's potentially a violation of the First Amendment of our California Constitution and our United States Constitution, First Amendment. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and thank you for your diligence on that, Tim. We went over this 2 weeks ago. There was not board direction. One director mentioned it, but the minutes reflect that staff was already working on it. So before anybody told Mr. Sweet to work on rules of decorum, he said he was already working on it. He didn't need to be working on it because in your bylaws, and I'm sure you all carry the Cliff Notes, 2.7 of your bylaws is a whole policy on rules of decorum. And we should have a discussion about those rules and maybe amend them. But we don't start from scratch with new counsel who apparently hadn't read your bylaws and start all over with billing and writing, drafting new rules of decorum that raised quite a ruckus for their constitutionality. So I think it is prudent to ask the legal firm to reconsider that bill, and I appreciate that Tim has asked that. With respect to the minutes of the last meeting and what you will be discussing later in tonight's agenda, I just want to read out loud for the benefit of the board members that weren't here at that meeting relative to the billing item in Oceano, page 3A, page 4. 3A4, whatever. The action taken with respect to the billing item for Oceano was a 3-0 vote to authorize district legal counsel, now you can bill, to begin investigation and analysis of all legally feasible options for customer billing, but to make no commitments for the interim bill period. Just to remind you, what's not attached to these minutes are the correspondence that came that day. And in there, there's a letter from me that included the staff report from October 2012 where John Wallace did this groundwork. So you don't have to bill very much. Pick up that old file, dust it off, and refresh it. But the work got started in 2012. And so those two items I wanted to talk about, the billing with Oceano and the bill at Brownstein.
Anyone else?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Again, my name is Jeff Edwards. And I take exception to two of the items on your warrants this evening. One is indeed the Brownstein bill at over $13,000 for 1 month. Additionally, the Shipsian Sites firm, Mike Sites, for over $5,000 for 1 month. And I'd like your board to know that the operations of this district, the money that runs the sanitation district facility, those funds are depleted by your legal bills. So your operations are impacted by the amount of legal bills you pay. The more bills you pay, the less you have for operations. It's that simple. And I would think that operations should be the focus of this district. Clearly, council doesn't go off and do just what they want. They're supposed to do what your general manager tells them or directs them to do. And unfortunately, it appears that your general manager is not directing counsel to do the work that matters. Counsel's been working on all sorts of things. You've heard about the rules of decorum. There's the OCSD billing and so forth. And it's incumbent upon the GM to be very careful and judicious about how the money is spent. I didn't even talk about the Downey Brand Law Firm because they're going to be on the next month's warrants. When you add up the totality of your legal fees, it's exceeding $20,000 a month easily. That should be reason for alarm. And I would ask that you hold off on both of these items, paying both of these items, including the Shipsian Sites bill, which the lion's share of that is for the litigation with the regional and state boards. So something's very wrong here, and I would ask you to look into it and, again, hold these back. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Please come forward.
Patricia Price, Rio Grande.
from what I've heard tonight, it seems that there is enough question to hold back on paying anything, that we really do need to look into this and to be more careful of how we spend our money. The legal fees are just, they're really, really way too high for this district. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Price.
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I'm going to agree with what the last three speakers said. We need a redundancy program put in place at the sanitation district. There's no dispute about that. Yet we seem to be spending a whole heck of a lot of money on legal fees. I'd like to see it being spent on what we need, and that is a redundancy plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? We've got to get longer mics up here. Anyway, that's cool. Okay, thank you. I'm going to close this to the public and bring it back to the board, and let's see if there's any clarification staff wanted to make, or if the board has any questions. Okay, is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I would make a suggestion.
Okay.
The only warrant I have concern about is the $13,000 one, but at the same breath, I don't want to withhold the warrant because it includes other work than just that one issue that I raised. It was more than just the decorum issue. So I would recommend approval of that warrant with the caveat that there would be some discussion and some clarification about how much time and energy was put into that item, so that if we need to adjust a bill in the future, adjust time in the future, that we do that. The other two legal bills that were brought up by the public at this point in time, I'm willing to move forward.
Okay. Mary, you have any thoughts?
I was trying to understand Mr. Brown just said. So you're willing to accept the three, but the first one is that we go back and discuss it at length in the future?
I want some clarification as to what they spent, with the idea that maybe they would reduce their bill at some future point by the amount that they spent on that item. But I don't want to withhold the whole amount, because they're clearly due money for other items that they worked on, and I'm not going to hold that hostage because I have an issue with one part of the bill.
So you're saying, just so I'm clear, is that you would move forward and passing the warrants, but that we go back and discuss on how things are
I want them to consider reducing their bill at some later date, but I don't want to withhold the warrant.
Go for it.
Well, I hear what he's saying, and I guess maybe that's sort of the, I don't know, I'm completely in agreement with that approach. So I do believe that maybe we do need to have a breakdown, and the only way to do that is to not approve the warrants with those two items that were brought up. And I think that means it's a two-week delay with payment, but maybe we can get a breakdown, and just because I think, in all fairness, this is not, you're exactly right, it's not a bill that was because of the decorum policy. There was a discussion on that, and I'm not going to go down that road, but I want to be fair, and I think if there is a breakdown of the bill, we can see that legal counsel is doing more than just that. And I think when we entered into this whole process, we knew that it was not going to come cheap. So I want to at least be fair. The community public has the right to know what are the line items, what's the breakdown of that. So if it means pulling these two out for 2 weeks, that would allow legal counsel to provide that documentation, I'm okay with that.
When you said, I apologize, John, you said two. What was the other item?
Someone brought up the
Sykes
bill, and I'm okay with that. I mean,
okay. Well, with that discussion, I'd be willing to make a motion that we approve the warrants except for those two and withhold those two for 2 weeks for further clarification.
Okay. So then I'm going to second that motion. And if there's no additional discussion, that means it will come back on August 1st and just have some more detail behind the bill.
Just a question of clarification. So the I guess the line item descriptions are attorney-client privileged and attorney work product. So some of them are confidential. So that's a consideration as we move forward. And so what type of breakdown do you want to see? I guess if you could be more specific and...
I guess I'm not looking for legal descriptions more so than just a general task, you know, and so I think...
Okay.
Meetings with various agencies or whatnot. I mean, something to that level.
Okay. Meetings. I understand that. That works. Thank you.
So there's a motion and there's a second on the floor. If there's no additional questions or discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you, John.
Okay. So let's see where we are. And then I think there was a consensus that the minutes from the meeting of July 1st would be continued to the first meeting in August, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So with that, let's do Plant Superintendent's Report. Mr. Clemens.
Good evening, Directors. I guess we'll start with operations. With the exception of total suspended solids, all the other plant key performance indicators are well within permit limits. Total suspended solids for the first week of July were extremely high. Typically, we're around 30. We averaged 61.4 for that first week in July. Our permit limit is 60. So we did have an exceedance. I called and spoke with Katie DeSimone. To notify the Water Quality Control Board. Since that time, if you look on the sheet, it's 59. Our next value was in the 50s, and then the latest one I got yesterday was in the 40s. So we're headed back down to normal. We believe that the elevated values are a direct result of actions taken to respond to the ruptured main. Specifically, sludge flow from the final clarifier to the hex works was cut off for several days. In our operation, a key part of our operations is the sludge that is produced and meant to settle out in the secondary clarifiers typically flows to the hex works hydraulically. And as you know by now, our hex works was totally out of use for almost a week, and so we didn't have the ability to send the sludge back to the headworks or anywhere else. So the sludge sat in the bottom or a clarifier and eventually begin to gasify and rise and go over the weirs and give us a high suspended solids. We have corrected that. We are using our headworks again, and our total suspended solid values are being reduced. So I believe we've overcome that hurdle. On July 3rd, emergency pump failure resulted in a sewage spill of approximately 2,000 gallons through several manholes in Oceano. A preliminary report included at the end of the superintendent report has a more detailed description. The district's current emergency bypass plan included closing the slide gate just prior to the headworks and trapping the incoming water in a wet well, an emergency wet well, and pumping that water from the emergency wet well to the processes bypassing the headworks. This plan was implemented on June 26 when we discovered that ruptured pipe and several holes. One of the vulnerabilities of that plan is that there's very little time to respond to a disruption, such as equipment failure. And another vulnerability is that when we use that well, we have no alarm system. And so that we're physically going back and forth checking it. As a result, the operator on duty on the night of July 3rd, obviously it's a holiday night, we have a lot of flow. He's going back and forth. And as soon as he recognizes that it's rising, we had two pumps out there. The first pump is not keeping up. He tries to get the second pump going. It's not going in time. He calls a senior operator. Senior operator gives him instruction on the pump. And then the senior operator thinks twice and just tells them, or calls back to tell them to just open the gate, let it flow into the headworks, and we'll live with using that ruptured pipeline, at least as an emergency relief. Unfortunately, it took the senior operator several calls to get to him because he was out working on trying to get the pumps going. soon as he got the call, as soon as he spoke to emergency operator, he opened the gate, allowing the flow into the headworks, and it solved the problem at hand. It limited the release of wastewater sewage, and so that's what happened. As a solution, staff has now configured emergency piping such that the emergency pipeline to the plant process connects directly to the normal inflow pumps in the headworks. So now instead of using that emergency well in the front and having that limited reaction time, we've managed to get back to using our original well, even and so that if we have an issue, we have an alarm system that alerts us of an issue ahead of time. We have our normal influent pumps pumping, and we have the backup pump. So we're almost, I won't call it back in normal operation, because we're still using the 12-inch emergency line, and we still have rain-for-rent pumps as our backup pumps right now. But we're going from the emergency from our original well, so that'll give us much more time to react in case of equipment failure. So that should not be repeated. Again, we have a lot more time to react. We have a lot of alarms back connected. One of our operators, I have to say, our operators discussed what happened on Friday, and they came up with a plan to plug into the line coming from our original pumps as a modification to the emergency bypass plan. And again, it just shows how the operators at the plant come up with a better idea. We have a, hit a stumbling block, we face it, and then we come up with a better idea so we don't repeat that. And also, I'd like to add that, I found out about what was going on at about 7:05 by a neighbor, and I immediately went to the plant, and five city fires were at the gate and some residents, and went in and made sure we were settled in the plant, started calling staff. By about 7:45 or 8, we had about 7 staff members there. They were immediately accessed our chlorine and began to go out and disinfect and called FRM, and they pulled up all the water. By 9 o'clock, we had everything disinfected. By 10 o'clock, all the water was pulled up, and any impact that may have happened was mitigated or corrected totally. During the action, we're obligated to call Operation Emergency Services and County Health. We did that. County Health actually came out. I was able to take her out to all the locations where we did have a spill. She was very satisfied with our response and the disinfection. So we were good with County Health. Again, we already talked to the State Water Board about it. Unless something new occurs, it doesn't appear it's going to trigger any action from the water board. It's what's called a Category 2 spill. I did not come in contact with any waterways, so that was one of the big deals. And it was pretty limited at 2,000 gallons for wastewater spills, a relative small amount. We had mostly from the public, they were concerned, but I thought they were real supportive. I thought that they understood, and they were just wanted us to do what we're supposed to do, which is to get it cleaned up, get it out of there, and don't spill anymore. I think is the response I got from them. And so it went well as far as spills go. And again, our staff responded really, really well, and we got it cleaned up. The final, if anybody's interested in statistics, I think that from the information gathered, we probably flow from anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. As I said, it's about 2,000 gallon spill. It was in the city of Oceano and Grover Beach on North Swing, I think. I think that's Grover. I'm not sure if that's Oceano. That's Oceano. So it was all Oceano in that case. Final deciles of water collected in pools at the roadside curbs. It flowed into a dirt-filled oil trap in the county ground. We were able to collect all that up with a pumper truck. No contact with storm drains. The number of manholes affected, I think, counted at 6. And the call is a slow reaction to high flows. We're already in an emergency mode. We're not using all our normal equipment, and that was kind of a bad combination for that night. With that, that's all I have. If the board has any more questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Thank you, John. Any questions from board members? Mary, you have a
question? No questions. I have a comment.
Okay.
I was going to ask you the question about whether you debrief after an incident, and you answered the question for me. So I just want to tell you I really appreciate what you said, where you guys are constantly trying to improve the process. That gives people out in the public that don't really understand what you do some, you know, what do I know, comfort that you're doing the right thing. So thank you.
And I was actually going to ask the same question, so thank you for that, Tim. Mary, did you have any questions?
Living in Oceano, I actually got a call, I think, from everybody on the island. So that's why I was there at 7:20. What I wanted to ask you, John, is how many operators were on site when the spill actually occurred?
One.
One operator.
Yes.
And it was a 3-day weekend, so we had an additional 40,000 people in town.
Yes.
Is that and we also were kind of operating in an emergency status because of the pipe having the cracks. And when was that pipe last inspected?
The pipe was it would have been before my time. My understanding is that pipe was repaired 15 years ago and 20 years ago. We had inspected it by video. Excuse me, let me go back.
Correct.
We inspected it by video on July 1st, almost exactly a year ago of 2014.
So there was no cracks or anything like that. So it was inspected 12 months earlier.
Yes.
And it appeared to be in relatively fine shape at that
yes.
point. So we couldn't blame it into 2012 or 2011, poor management, right?
We could not see anything from the inside. I'll say that.
Okay. Did you happen to have a pumper truck on hold or on reserve since you were operating in this high risk, situation?
On hold?
Yeah.
No, we didn't have a pumper truck on hold.
Okay. Because I've talked to a couple people and I said, what do you do when you have, pipes that are inherently getting old and you find out that you do have a compromised pipe? And so some people have ran down to me basic protocols. One is that you always have more than two operators on plant. And three is that that you always have a pumper on hold. So in case something does happen, and particularly on a holiday weekend, that those things are in place in case of situations. So I say that to you so you might want to consider that as you're working on your plan and briefing.
We typically have FRM. We typically have FRM on hold. They were there within 45 minutes. We're not a plant like everybody else. We have our particular things that we deal with. If that's their opinion, that's their opinion. If they have something different and they happen to be a wastewater professional, I'll be more than happy for them to call me.
Yeah, they're certified.
Yeah.
Inspectors. All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, John. So I just want to clarify, so basically this will happen, I think as you put in your report, slow reaction to high flows over the holiday weekend.
Yes. Yes.
So I was sort of along the same lines with Mary, and I just wanted to kind of get a sense of advanced planning. So we know that we have certain weekends throughout the year where we may have high flows, and so is that typically taken into account when you're trying to do planning over the long haul? And the reason I'm asking this is because the company that I work for during the day, we've have situations where like a few years ago there was a Monday night football game and there was a loss of power. So whenever there are big events that now come in advance, then we have crews that go out and do inspections, and we make sure they're staged. So I was just kind of curious if that's kind of something you have done.
Well, what we do is typically before holiday weekend, we have a discussion. We find out who's all in town, who will be available. Again, this operator was able to call an on-call operator and get through. If he needed to, he could have called me. I was 5 minutes away. Our entire staff, except for one person, lives within 5 minutes or 10 minutes of the plant. So we know exactly who's available. We know exactly pretty much how far they are from the plant. We know who to reach. I don't think that we had a problem with response, so I'm not sure what the issue is. Our response was probably faster than most. So
don't take it as an issue. Don't take these as complaints. These are just inquiries.
Because
we can always figure out a way to improve what we do, even though you do things very well.
So. Okay, it's just I guess, thoughts.
It's okay. No, because I just wanted to make sure of that operation, and if there's something the board could assist you with down the road if need be. You know, one of the things that I know that we probably don't do is a full, what we call a root cause analysis, and then what are the corrective actions. And I'm not going to go back and beat a dead horse from the spill from way back in 2010. Probably would have been beneficial to have something similar to that. So I think that's just, as we go forward, best practices, and if there are ways that we can improve. So please don't take it as a criticism of your response. I mean, your answer tonight was very sufficient to know that before these big weekends you have a conversation, you figure out who's in town, and your response was very good. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. Basically, you met with Slo County Health Agency, you talked to the State Water Board, and no one is, they've all said, hey, they're satisfied with the response. So we're going to leave it at that, okay?
Thank you.
Very good. Is there any member of the public or the community that would like to speak to the superintendent's report?
I would just once again say kudos to Mr. Clemens for jumping on this problem. It sounds like the public knew what was going on. They were satisfied with how he reacted and how they handled things, and it was another job well done. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Wells. Is there anyone else?
Karen White, Oceano Community Service District. I just wanted to point out that Oceano's crews were also out there, also responded, and we got credit, if that's the term, for 700 gallons of that spill. Oceano also had to file paperwork, call county, call everything else. So it wasn't just the sand plant spill, it also was Oceano's. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close this to the public. And John, thank you for, again, another really good report. So we will receive and file the report. Very good. So let's move on to item 5. This is board action on individual events. And 5A is a review of emergency action in conformance with Public Contracts Code Section 22050 to repair pipeline from headworks to primary clarifier. Mr. Sweet.
Good evening, members of the board, chairman and members of the board. The item before you tonight is a reconsideration as required by state law for emergency action to repair the influent pipeline. On June 26th, a leak was discovered in the influent pipeline, and since that time we've had, on July 1st board meeting, the board acted to repair this as an emergency item. Since that time, since the emergency, the plant has experienced a TSS weekly average slightly in excess of the permit. The weekly average for the first week in July was 61.4 milligrams per liter, and the permitted weekly average is 60 milligrams per liter. And on July 3rd, we had a sewage spill, as was just recently talked about at some length. Both of these clearly illustrate the need to aggressively replace the pipe as an emergency item. The Public Works Contract Code is cited in the staff report, clearly says if the governing body orders any action specified in Subdivision A, which is the provision which allows you to declare an emergency action, the governing body shall review the emergency action
at its next regularly scheduled meeting and accept as specified below at every regular scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is terminated, determined by a 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue the action. If the governing body meets weekly, it may review the emergency action in accordance within this paragraph every 14 days. So tonight we'd ask the board to declare that the findings for the emergency are based on an emergency which will not permit delay to undertake solicitation of bids, as cited in Section A of the Public Works Contract Code, and the action is necessary to respond to the emergency. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to entertain those.
Thank you, Rick. Any questions?
I do.
Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you. So just so I'm clear, the board previously approved this action. This is just an ongoing approval of a previously approved action. It's not slowing down in any way, shape, or form the repairs that were talked about at the last meeting.
Correct. It's going to be required at every board meeting until the action is completed.
Okay.
As in compliance with the code.
That's my only question. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Mary, any questions?
No. Self-explanatory.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. And Tim, you hadn't asked my question, so again. So let me open this up to the public. Please come forward, state your name for the record.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I really wanted to kind of, Mary was asking John about the spill and the pipe and the need for its repair, and I got the impression that you didn't want to blame anyone in the past. And
hold on, let's keep your comments on the items.
I am, okay? and so when you look at the staff report that was presented on July 1st, which is included in tonight's board packet, the bottom paragraph of the first page, again, July 1st staff report, it says the contractor who had worked at this treatment plant in the 1990s recalled that this section of the same pipeline needed repair 20 years ago. Some work had been performed at that time. Two of our current staff members, Trini and Jim, also recalled this pipeline requiring repairs some 15 to 20 years ago. Staff did perform a video inspection of this line in July of 14. No abnormalities were observed or noted during the video inspection. And if you recall, and Ms. Sweeney's here tonight, she talked about how when the camera goes inside, it can only see what's inside the pipe. It can't see how thick the pipe is, or the rust on the outside of the pipe, or whatever damages are on the outside of the pipe. This is a 50-year-old pipe. And if it had damage and needed repairs 20 years ago, it should have been replaced. And I believe it was identified in the pro forma that Ms. Sweeney performed in 2013, right after Mr. Wallace left. So it should have been replaced under Mr. Wallace's term as the administrator of the district.
Is there anyone else that would like to? No, we're fine. We're going to keep moving.
Debbie Peterson. I live in Grover Beach, and I had a conversation with someone who has some experience of big pipes. I have none. And so I'm not qualified to say anything at all, except to raise some questions. And I'm curious about the comments he was making. Is that these big pipes aren't that expensive? They do almost come off the shelf. It may be much less expensive and much more efficient and quicker if they were ordered directly by the district. And was concerned about the fact that there weren't alternative quotes, or at least even alternative opinions taken at the time. And I have a hard time disagreeing with him on that, as much as I trust the parties involved. I think that it's something that perhaps should be discussed. It's very easy for us in agencies like this to get stuck into protocols and ways of doing things, and forgetting that we can think out the box and perhaps serve people better by doing so. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address the item before the board? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close this to the public and let's see if there's any questions or discussion amongst board members.
I'm ready to move for approval, but I'm going to need help with the language to make sure it's done correctly.
Okay, so staff, can you maybe cover the findings again? I believe that's the is that the one you're thinking of?
Yes. So when we're just reaffirming the past action at this point. So just based on substantial evidence that the emergency would not permit delay to undertake competitive solicitation of bids and that the action is necessary to respond to the emergency.
That's my motion, Mr. Chair.
So we're all clear what the motion is and he's saying the findings can be made. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that. I just have one question.
So there's a motion and a second, so ask your question.
Is a 24-inch being put into the 30-inch?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second on the floor. There's no additional discussion. I don't know if there's not a resolution, so we can just do this on a voice vote. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Oh, very good. So then we're going to move on to our next item. Which is? This is item 5B, approval of a short-term agreement with Oceana Community Services District for Billing and Collection Services. Mr. Sweet.
This is the ongoing member agency billing issue. And in May of this year, questions arose pertaining to the ability of the OCSD to justify their cost to the district for billing and collection services. At the June 3rd board meeting, the board directed that member agencies not be paid for billing services pending and that member agencies provide justifications for their costs and billing options. At the June 17th board meeting, the board directed that pending payments to member agencies be paid in the district. Manager engage in discussions with member agencies to find standards, practices, and costs to provide billing services and to develop agreements with each member agency for provision of billing services. At the July 1st board meeting, the board considered options for billing during the negotiation period, and legal counsel was directed to evaluate all feasible options for customer billing. So this item continues to evolve. On July 10th, 2015, the district received correspondence from the OCSD indicating that lacking an agreement between the district and the OCSD for billing and collection, the OCSD would no longer be able to provide these services on behalf of the district, and a copy of that letter is attached. The OCSD offered to continue these services at the rate of $36.66 per two-month billing period, so for a two-month period, that's their... In addition, as requested by the board, the OCSD provided a line item justification for the amount charged, and that's an attachment to their letter. To facilitate implementation of billing services prior to the critical date of August 1st, which would be the next billing cycle, the OCSD has agreed to have a meeting on Friday, July 17th, to act on the proposed agreement with the district. That would allow the district to continue billing for that two-month period. And the amount represented in that two-month period would be $84,000 in revenue to the district. If that was divided up between all the customers in the district, that'd be about $6 per customer. So that's my staff report. We have developed an agreement. Our council has developed an agreement for the OCSD, which is attached, and it has a it requires the OCSD to participate in negotiations with the district and the other member agencies to negotiate terms and agreement to define standards, practices, and costs to provide billing services. Limits the amount of the term of the agreement to 2 months. It's, however, a renewable agreement. Provides a 30-day termination notice and compensates the OCSD at the justified amount that they had provided. So with that, if there are any questions, I will do my best to entertain those and answer them.
Thank you, Rick. Any questions of staff?
Yes, please.
Tim.
I was a little confused by your staff report, so I need some clarification. The discussion about the money that was going to be lost for lack of collection, And then there's this discussion about what it was going to cost members through the whole district, $6 a person. I guess my real question to you is, if we don't collect it now, what precludes us from collecting it later?
I don't know that we have an agreement to collect it from them. I'm not sure what mechanism you would use to make that collection.
So you're saying, even though the service wasn't provided or was provided, that we'd have no legal basis in the future to collect for pending services or services that have been done?
I am not aware of a method by which to make that collection beyond what we have. I'm not sure how to do that, quite frankly.
Well, that's why I'm asking you the question. Maybe legal staff can get involved here. I guess my real question is, I don't see why, when we're in the middle of this dispute, why we can't be prudent and wait until we have an agreement that's considered fair by all parties, and then collect at that time. Because the service has been provided, you would have a legal basis to say the service has previously been provided. Now this is the rate at which we're going to charge to do that. So, because the service is ongoing, it's not as though the district stops giving the service. There's value to that service. And there's no written agreement now. It's all been by a handshake. There's no legal basis to do what we're doing now, from my perspective. It's not even good practice, let alone legal. And we're doing the same thing with the Five Cities Fire Authority. We have some handshake agreements that are falling apart because they're just that. So I just don't understand, respectfully, Mr. Sweet, your logic for your staff report, because it makes absolutely no sense to me that when you have a service that is being provided, that we don't have some legal method of collection when we don't even have an agreement in place now. And you're saying, yet because we don't have an agreement now, we won't be able to collect in the future. Well, we're collecting right now. We don't even have an agreement. So that's what I'm having a hard time with.
I can attempt to respond. So I think we have to break it up into different pieces. So we have an obligation to provide sewage services, and we could collect those charges or those fees. However, we're asking another agency to do that collection. And so since we don't have an agreement to ask that agency to require that agency to make that collection for us, it's hard. You know, as Mr. Sweet said, there is really no basis to require that agency to make that collection if we're not going to pay for their services. So that's why we at this point are trying to get some sort of interim agreement so that we don't end up at a loss. And that's why it is also a short-term, two-month agreement and not a long-term agreement.
I guess what I'm missing here is, though, if maybe I'm not explaining myself well. If you don't collect for some period of time, that doesn't mean that the money isn't due at some point in the future. That's where I'm having the problem.
So you're talking about the money due from the residents.
That's from the customers, that's right.
Correct. You're not going to just give them a free pass. It's going to get collected at some point in time, and it should be on an equitable basis to all parties. So I just, the staff report really doesn't make sense to me, that it's all or nothing. It doesn't seem like it's all or nothing. It seems like there's other steps that we can make. And so I'm really just quite bluntly confused by the staff report. So that's my only question, John, and I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I just want to make sure everybody's clear. I mean, staff is presenting information. They don't have the authority to accept or reject an agreement. So they're bringing it to us, and we'll have to make a decision as a board. And I think we're going to have significant discussion around that and public comment. So let's move forward. Mary, you have any questions?
My understanding is that this agreement is a short-term agreement, and that it's basically from every 2 months, pretty much, whenever billing's collected. But I think looking back in the SAND District's policies and procedures, I don't think we can collect without a contract. Whether we wanted to collect and set it to the side, I don't think we can legally do it. Unless there's some kind of temporary contract in place, even if it was out of the goodness of our hearts, saying, yeah, we'll collect and put it into this account till, you know, you can figure out what contracts feels best to everybody, you know, but I don't think we legally can with that move forward. OCSD can move forward without a contract.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Certainly, a statement.
That's certainly the contention of the OCSD legal counsel in this case, so okay. That's what we're responding to.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So I have two, maybe three questions. So, so Jenna and Rick, sounds like obviously I don't. It sounds like there may have been a meeting with OCSD. Was there an opportunity to meet with the other member agencies since we last met?
No, we have not met with the other member agencies. We've just responded to the OCSD letter that you saw before you.
Okay. And so I do believe that Mr. Brown makes a really good point about obviously there's no formal agreements amongst any of the member agencies and we're being asked to move forward, and I know it's an interim agreement, but I'm just kind of curious. So how quickly could we ramp up, could the district ramp up if they needed to go to a process in which whether it's the county or if we had to do a billing and collection?
That's one of the things we're looking at it, and quite frankly, it's for instance, it doesn't appear that if we were going to collect on the county tax roll, that that's something that could happen this year because we're past the July 1st date. We're not; these are preliminary. We've been doing research, so these are preliminary results. So it doesn't look like this year we could collect on the county tax roll. So we'd have to wait until next year to collect on the county tax roll. If we were to do our own billing services, we do not hold the information regarding who the customers are. That information is held by each of the member agencies, and it's based on who has water meters, which all the member agencies serve. So we don't even own the database, which relates to the customers of the district that we would bill. So that would have to be acquired. And then we'd have to bill each of our customers ourselves. That's a fairly expensive process in that just the cost of the paper and the envelope and the stamp itself in the order of $2 a month or $2 a billing period. So if we were to do a 2-month billing period, that would be
okay. So was there any other options discussed with OCSC or Mr. Ogren and legal counsel from the district? Because it looks like what they've given us is there's a set amount that was agreed to and we suggest you pay for it, so it's an all or nothing. So I didn't know if there was any movement on any kind of discussion.
Well, they did provide the justification, which is, of course, attached. And that I believe that the numbers are accurate. And, of course, there could always be a debate about what tasks they assign to that justification. But I believe that what they were attempting to do was respond to concerns they heard from the board about providing justification. And that's what you would see attached. Yeah, and they broke it down to... And they broke it down about how they divided it, and I believe that given the numbers they were looking at, they excluded indirect labor costs, and they also divided it in a manner that was most beneficial to the district in regards to what they thought the appropriate costs were.
Okay. So have any of the other member agencies submitted a letter with the pushing for an agreement, whether interim or long-term?
No, that has not occurred.
Okay. And then just, again, clarify for me. You were talking about a potential loss of revenue or at least a potential amount that would not be collected without an agreement. Is that $82,000? Is that for a two-month?
It's a two-month billing period, and that's the billing cycle, at least for the OCSD. I mean, billing is an extremely complex item. I mean, I've worked for agencies, and often billing is it's very complex. So for the district to take that on as its own billing, we need a great amount of evaluation to see what those costs would be. I find it hard to believe that we would do better by the district doing its own billing.
Okay. And with respect to this potential of a certain amount that would not be collected, are there funds? I know that one of the recommendations in the past was to set aside a certain amount. Are there funds that could that we would have on the books that could cover a situation like that?
We won't have an issue with operating costs. The problem is what a way a special district with certain duties are set up is that we're really not allowed to have a reserve fund. What we have is a capital replacement fund and a projects fund. So the money's not being set aside for reserve because that's not really copacetic with Prop 218. That money's programmed for eventual expenditure, either capital replacement or future projects. So when you don't have a certain amount of money, that money has to be replaced for those funds in eventuality. I'm not saying tomorrow, but that would be a certain less amount of money in the funds of the district, which would be available to construct our future, for instance, redundancy project. And that $84,000 would then have to be collected in some other way.
Okay. Thank you, staff. Let me open this up to the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to address this item?
Yes, my name is Ron Holt from Arroyo Grande. I do have some questions. Mr. Sweet talked about the difficulty of the fact that we don't have a database of customers separate from or including even the ones that the various agencies have. And I was wondering, would this present a difficulty as well were we to go with the county in the future? And is there some option to getting that that database or that information other than to buy it or whatever is necessary to obtain it from various member agencies? And that's on top of that, I do have a concern about comparing apples to oranges here as far as what the different agencies are just using for justification of the billings. I don't know, I haven't seen the data. I just got back from vacation myself, so I haven't seen a lot of the reports and things that happened in the last 3 weeks or so. I would like to be sure that at some point we take a look at the justifications and make sure that they are on the same basis. I can understand a smaller agency not having the economies of scale of a larger agency, but the differences shouldn't be that great, and I'd like to know why they are, if they are, because I can't see paying a much higher rate for a small agency than for a large one, like comparing Oceano to either Grover or to Arroyo Grande. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Is there anyone else?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I just have to say I'm surprised that this is even on the agenda with the direction that was given 2 weeks ago. I thought we would be looking at a staff report that had options. It may not have been here this meeting, but maybe in the next meeting that we would have something more concrete to be reading. It sounds to me like legal counsel, I know the Oceano legal counsel's been working on this quite a bit, but legal bills can be redacted for the public. That's what they look like. And they have line items in them so that the board knows what you're billing for. So I was kind of surprised when you said
Julie, are you talking about this issue?
I am, because
I need you to stay on this item.
I believe I am, John. And my point is the bills need to be broken out with tasks associated with them, and this one's going to be on there, and it's going to be hefty. Thank you, Mr. Ogren. What I've already covered half my notes. The county will bill in arrears. PG&E bills after you've gotten your service. Right, John? And Mr. Mayor Hill, if he were here too. I don't see Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande clamoring down here and their legal counsels pounding on your desk saying, we can't do this without an agreement. And I think you've got very competent legal counsel in those districts, in those cities. So if it's not a problem for them, I don't know why it's such a headache for Oceano. And then when we get to the details, it looks like Mr. Ogren's come up with a formula. Here's the problem. This, I don't know how we get to $22,000 a year. Maybe it's $11,000 every 6 months. And I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses on. But this is $11,500. So if that's 6 months, somebody has to explain this to me. Because if it's $11,500, all I can think of is that that's the half-year billing that's been the most recent case, and we haven't done every 2 months. But if it's $11,500, then it's $23,000. And just like Mr. Holt said, their formula per capita is much more than the per capita at Arroyo and Grover. And you are basically, the citizens of Arroyo and Grover are subsidizing the rates in Oceano by doing this, by paying more if you don't come to some agreement on a formula. I think your board said it best 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks before that, 2 weeks before that. Every time this thing has come up, get to the tax roll. And I think you might have had time if you had spent the energy on going towards the tax roll before July 1st. Then this dragging out, continuing to run up the ratepayers' bills at both Oceano and the Sand District, and come to just take the job away. They want too much money for the work.
Is there anyone else?
Debbie Peterson, I reside in Grover Beach. I have just two questions. I'm a little confused by the line under discussion on these pages aren't numbered, under discussion on this agenda item. It says this $84,000 would need to be replaced by billing the entirety of the district's customers, and that would result in an additional eventual charge to each customer of $6. And so my question is, why? Why does everybody else have to pay for the income that Oceano residents will eventually have to pay if they want sewer service? So I don't understand why the other cities have to make up for Oceano if Oceano isn't paying. And the other thing I'm wondering about is this $11,000 figure that we keep talking about. Is this money for work that's already been done, or is this money for work that they are planning to do in future? Because if it's already been done, then effectively we have a contract. So curious about this $11,000, what it's actually covering. Thanks.
Thank you.
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. Justification. That word just keeps coming up, and keeps coming up. I want to see the justification that you're going to charge the citizens of Arroyo Grande more money. It's pretty simple. Justify it. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Board, good evening. Jeff Edwards. I respectfully submit to your board that this is another example of your general manager going off the reservation.
excuse me, as a new mayor.
She's interrupting me, Mr. Chairman. I don't appreciate that. Ms. Lucy,
stop. Racial slanderous mark towards me.
I don't know what she's talking about.
Jeff, stop, please.
Presume you'll start my time over when you're ready?
We will start your time over. Let's take a 5-minute break. I'm going to reconvene the meeting, and I know we were taking public comment on the item that's before us. Board Member Lucy, would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, you know, racism comes in many, many different ways, and I'm Blackfoot Indian, and I was born in Montana, and I was born on a reservation, and my grandmother was raised in an orphanage. So when someone says to me, "You've wandered off the reservation," It is the most bigoted comment you can make to a Native American, and it's insulting. And what's really insulting is when you do it in front of a room full of adults, and they allow that type of bigotry to continue. So, Mr. Edwards, you're a bigot.
Okay, I didn't think we were going to go there. So, we've heard a lot about decorum and grilling on that, and I think we talked about it. Let's be respectful. I know that the League of Women Voters is doing civil discourse, and maybe we'll get them in here soon, but we want to be respectful of each other. So, Jeff, why don't you come forward, and I'm going to start your time over.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I do want to speak to this idea of a short-term agreement with the OCSD for billing services. And your general manager and his bias has continued the conversation with Oceano on this matter contrary to the direction of your board. And Mr. Sweet has convened meetings with Paavo Ogren of the OCSD after full direction was received. So one has to ask themselves, who was Mr. Sweet working for? Is he working for this district, or is he working for Paavo Ogren at the OCSD? This item should not be on your agenda at all, yet it appears again. What was supposed to be on your agenda was a full analysis of the various options to be considered by your board for billing services, and that would be for all your member agencies. But that's not on here, because it appears Mr. Sweet chooses to work on whatever he wants to work on, and not based on what your board directs him to do. So, again, this is just another example in a long line of examples that make Mr. Sweet less than the ideal candidate for the general manager position. As to this billing dilemma, I will say that I don't know what the GM and the GMs talked about at their meeting, but I would hope that would be disclosed. We have no idea what was discussed at that meeting. Is that attorney-client privilege? Were lawyers present? So really, what went on, and why did the meeting even occur contrary to your board's direction? So frankly, the OCSD has consumed a lot of your district's time and money. They've wasted your lawyer fees. They've wasted your time, your staff time, and why? They're not special. They're not better than a Royal Grande or Grover Beach. And let's be candid about this. Oceano needs the money. That's why they keep begging for it. They have to pay Paavo. It's that simple. And Ms. Lucy and her other board members have come here begging for the money so they can pay their overpriced general manager. Sorry. Thanks.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the issue before the board? I'm going to close it to the public and let's come back. There were some questions that I do want to get some responses to. Mr. Holt asked a question regarding the data. We did not own the data. He said, will this be an issue if we go down the road of dealing with the county? So staff, any response to that?
What is something that if we were going to go with the county, which, by the way, I know of no feasible way that we could have possibly been in a place to be on the county tax roll by July 1st, given this item was brought up in the second meeting of May, because one of the things that has to happen is our billing now is based on use at the site, and it references water meters. So if you have a water meter at your site and you have a particular use, a restaurant with certain number of seatings or something like that, that's how that occurs. To go on the county tax roll, that needs to be assessed by parcel, which is not necessarily the same distribution as those who have water meters. There may be parcels that have several water meters on them and henceforth several billings associated with them. So, for instance, if you had a commercial facility with one parcel but five water meters on it, then those would then need to be analyzed to see what those billings were per that parcel, and then that needs to be assigned to that parcel. That's a fairly extensive process to go through to do that. There is some type of vote that would be required to get on the county tax rolls. We're trying to figure out exactly what that is. Is it a Prop 218 protest hearing, or is it a full election as required by Prop 13 and property tax assessment increases? We are trying to figure that out. There are there are a number of opinions regarding that, and to make that assessment takes a fairly, what may appear to be simple to those who don't have to do it, is not. So that putting on the county tax rolls more complex than it appears to say, let's just put on the county tax roll. There's a procedures to go through in regards to assessing the billing and also towards what action it takes to actually make that occur. So that's where we're at on that. So is it something that the district needs to have, that database? If we continued with the member agencies doing that billing, not necessarily. If we want to take another role, yes, we would need that information. So,
okay. And I guess we don't know, would that be, is that proprietary information? Is that something we'd have to pay for? Or
I think that actually Pavo presented us a price to buy that information from the OCSD, from their database. So, I mean, in all fairness, it does take production of database material to get that information. So, I mean, there's some value to that. Certainly, it's a lot cheaper than us sending out people walking the ground to try to figure out what that is. And if we are going to either take a direct billing approach, which I'd say is going to be probably much more expensive than any of the scenarios we're looking at now for member agency billing, we would certainly need that information.
Okay. Let's see. And I think he had asked about options to get that data. So I think that was kind of, you just covered that. Ms. Peterson asked a question regarding the $11,000 that was referenced, and I'm not quite sure if she was really talking about this report or a previous report. Can you just clarify, was that for
the work or for fees? The $11,000 was the amount the original discussion was about, which was 6 months billing for the 6 months of last year, so concluding on July 1st of this year, or June 30th of this year. That's what that was.
Okay.
And that has been paid.
And then can you just, again, clarify on this $84,000 that would have to be made up by billing the other customers in their entirety? Can you maybe just kind of...
Well, I think we just ran some numbers based on what would happen if we didn't collect the $84,000. I mean, Board Member Brown brings up an interesting point. What if we tried to collect later? I don't know that that would not be possible. It may be indeed possible. However, as you are, I think it becomes cumbersome to do that. For instance, if you were to receive a bill from PG&E for services you received 6 months ago, you may have a hard time. People may question that collection. And the only way we have as an agency who supplies sewer service is to lien that property. We have no ability to actually shut off somebody's sewer, whereas if you provide water service, you do have that ability. There's no valve at your residence to shut off your sewer. So the only way you'd really have to collect those back services is to lien the property. Collection through property liens, of course, is time-consuming. You don't necessarily get that for until the property changes hands, which may be years and years down the road.
Okay. And maybe for legal counsel, I know that the last board meeting we had talked about this item. We had said we wanted to go down the road and try and identify something that's fair and that's equitable. And we had said, let's research the county using county rules and other options. And I do believe you had asked us if the board, did that mean also continuing to talk with member agencies? I'm trying to make sure that was my recollection from the last meeting.
No, that is my recollection as well. And I wrote down, I remember clarifying directions so that I could make sure to, one, go down every path that board members were interested in, because there were particular board members interested in particular paths. And so I didn't want to just focus on one path if there are also additional options that might be better for the district. So that is one option that we are considering and that I believe I have, I had direction okay. to consider.
Okay, very good.
I would like to respond to say that if there is a possibility of this agency losing significant revenue, I will probably take action to preserve that revenue, regardless whether or not there was specific board direction in that regard. That would be, I think, my fiduciary duty to do so, and I believe that the bylaws provide for the district manager to take operations as he sees aren't necessary to the board for their consideration. In fact, that's what I'm doing.
So you want to clarify actions? Sure. Please. You had to talk about taking actions and what type of actions.
To bring actions to the board for their consideration.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Fair enough. And I agree with you. That is definitely what you are paid to do, to bring actions to us, and the board will have to make a decision. So I want to make sure everyone's pretty clear on that. Mr. Brown.
No, I think you just clarified what he was saying. You're basically saying you brought this item forward because you were afraid of losing revenue.
Correct.
And so then we are fully aware of the consequences of our decisions.
And I think I brought the facts to you, and
there you go.
That's your decision. Okay, so
fair enough.
I do have a question, though, beyond that. It's my understanding from talking to you earlier in the meeting that you still need more time to come up with the options that you were directed to do by the previous meeting, at the previous meeting. Is that?
I believe, if I understand correctly.
I'm asking legal staff, actually.
Yes, I do. So we are in the process of investigating all of the different options. You know, I think, as Mr. Sweet said earlier, that takes a lot of time, and there are a lot of moving pieces, including if we were to change our billing method at this point, we would need to go through an assessment of the parcels in order to figure out how much each parcel should be charged.
Without going into detail on all mm-hmm. the different options, I guess my real question is, you were asked to bring forward different options to the board for their decision. My question is, how much more time do you believe you'll need to get that done?
Well, I would hope to be able to bring something back in the second meeting in August. So as I mentioned last time, I preliminarily said, yes, I could plan to bring this item back to the board on the the first meeting in August, and if I needed additional time, I would notify the board. So I verbally notified earlier in this meeting, and I can follow up with an email as well. But it does look like I will need additional time.
Like approximately a month is what it sounds like. Just approximately.
Approximately, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mary.
So my understanding is that the payment of $11,000 was put on the warrant pack, and staff pulled it off from OCSD's final payment for the year end. And in fact, I was sitting at that meeting. The next meeting, it was staff once again pulled it off. So as when it came up for the third time, Mr. Guerrero was sitting at the time, and I was actually in the audience. It was pulled off a second time, and then the discussion and looking through the Sand District bylaws and policies and procedures closely, it defines saying that you cannot do business without a contract. And that's where things got a little bit more complicated. So I've looked into the county collection of these fees, and from a ratepayer's point of view, it would be far more cost effective for the sanitation district to go with the county. Oceano is not interested, nor are we begging. But you do have to get those APN numbers together. You do have to get them over to the county, and you can't do it in the 11th hour. And to ask somebody to do it in 60 days is just, it's impossible. You know, you're dealing with a bureaucracy. It usually takes about 18 months on the average. So Oceano is not begging the Sand District for anything. If you look at the spreadsheet that was provided to you, and look at the players who made this negotiation. Come on, let's stop and think about the people who were involved in this negotiation in 2012. Mr. Wallace, Mr. Geislin. Need I say more? Okay, so all you do, it's so simple. I'm sorry. You divide it by four. What do you come out with four? You come out with $22,006.85. Doesn't matter how many customers you have. It matters on how many member agencies. If you look at the expenditure sheet on the far left, the third one down here, it says divide by four, 50% OCSD water, CSD 25%, Sand District sewer. $22,006.85. And that's what each member agency was to provide. Now, Oceano, not OCSD, Mr. Wallace and Mr. Geislin came up with a 12.5% of, that's OCSD's portion or how much we use of the district or whatever. But I think all you have to do is look at the people, look at the players, divide by four, and that's how you get the numbers for Sand District. Sand District, AG, Grover, OCSD. Now, whether AG decides to bill their Sand District, that's entirely up to them. And whether they want to operate without a contract, that's entirely up to them. I am not going to tell them to do that. Okay, and the same with Grover Beach. You make your own policies. But the policies and procedures that we've read in the sanitation district says you cannot operate without a contract. So OCSD provides the Sand District with a contract, but Mr. Ogren prepared it. So we're going to have to find somebody else to prepare it. So they look at, rightfully so, the sanitation district staff should have prepared it. They have prepared it. It's in our packet this time. I don't understand what the debate is. I don't understand what besides not liking Mr. Ogren,
besides not liking Oceano, thinking that we're begging, the reality is we really would prefer the ratepayers to go through the county system. It's more cost effective. So, you know, you can blame us. We're good. We're fine with taking blame and everything. But the reality is we can't collect unless there's a contract.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's only going to hurt the Sand District.
Okay. Please, let's keep everything down. I know we've got comments. It's emotionally charged. Tim, do you have anything?
I do, actually. I apologize. I thought we were just asking questions. First of all, I want to say, I don't know Mr. Ogren from Adam, so this has nothing to do with Mr. Ogren from my perspective. It's all about what's equitable. And we've all talked about let's do what's equitable. And I see two jurisdictions that continue to collect without a contract. Do I think that's best practices? No, it's not. It clearly is not best practices. And it's a nod and a handshake is not a way to do this business. So we do need to rectify that, and that needs to happen, and it's going to happen. However, I also don't believe it's correct to basically be told by one jurisdiction it's our way or the highway, which is what's happening here. It's not equitable. It's not fair. You can see it on the face of the numbers. I'm a finance major. I can make spreadsheets look really rosy if you want me to. So I guess what I would say is I would respectfully ask that this item in terms of this contract be postponed for the period of 1 month in order for staff to do the work that they've been tasked to do. And then at that point in time, given that information, the board then makes a decision on what contracts to enter into with the various jurisdictions. That'll give both Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande time to be part of the mix, because right now we're doing it, it seems to me, like in a vacuum. We're making decisions in a vacuum. We're taking Oceano at their word with no discussion with Grover Beach or Arroyo Grande, which seems to me an odd way of determining what's fair. It's each party for themselves, and that's not the way this is supposed to be. So respectfully, I would request that this item be tabled for 1 month, regardless of the consequence of this lack of collection, because I absolutely do believe that we can collect the money at a later date. I just don't buy Mr. Sweet's analysis, and unless I hear the legal counsel tell us that that can't be done, I'm not going to make that assumption that the revenue's lost. Has it been... postponed in terms of booking the revenue? Absolutely. That's a true statement. The ultimate loss, though, I think is pretty minimal. And we're not making good decisions financially if we're making these judgments. To me, it's a rushed judgment, and it is doing it in a vacuum without the other jurisdictions involved. So those are my comments, and that's my request, that we put it off for 1 month.
Okay, those are comments, but is that a motion that you're making?
That's a motion as well.
And I'm gonna second that motion for discussion, because I want to make sure that everyone understands where I am on this, and I do want to do some clarification, because I know there has been attacks on staff, and we really are hoping that we can get beyond those sort of things, because Mr. Sweet is exactly right, that he is bringing this information to us, and we'll make the decision. So we're not going to shoot the messenger. We are going to give them direction, and we are going to start holding them accountable for this. Now, that said, it feels a bit odd up here. I think last time I had talked about how this has gotten so emotional, and some of the comments seem to be vindictive, and we live in a great country, and everyone's free to make those comments, and, hey, I got elected, and I'm okay with that. At one of the previous meetings, I had made the motion to pull the $11,000 off of the warrants, and I also pulled Grover Beach's share off of that, and there was the board consensus to do that. And I obviously got criticism on all sides based on that. After getting more information, I was the one who voted to pay the $11,000 for services rendered, and that was done with an understanding that we were going to be working toward a more equitable solution
And I don't know if that means that Aurora Grandy starts billing more, or Oceano bills less, or Grover bills less. Anyone who knows me knows that I try to be fair in my deliberations, and I'm going to stick to that because I'm not going to shift from what I had said previously. And so I think at this point, no one has an agreement. It's unfortunate that we've gone down this road, and I have respect for all of my colleagues that are at the Oceana Community Services District, and I've known Mr. Ogren for many years. I will say that I saw the letter before, and I think we had talked about a certain level of arrogance, or that was the intonation of that. So that makes it emotional. I don't want to do that, but I think the fact of the matter is we do need to find an equitable solution. We are fully aware of the consequences as presented by staff tonight, and so if there's going to be any criticism for any potential loss of revenues, I'll take squarely my share of that. But I think given where we are tonight, I think the continuation for a month with direction to staff to get in the room with not just Mr. Ogren, but with other representatives from the other communities and come up with a formula, and if that can't be done, then we clearly are going to have to make other arrangements and pursue other options. This is not, like I said, emotional. This is not, I have no qualms with the community of Oceano nor the community of Aurora Grande. My job is to try and sit here and do what's best for those who are paying, the rate paying customers in this community. So I can only ask that our colleagues in Oceano reconsider the letter as written by Mr. Ogren so that we can come up with a mutually agreeable solution for all parties involved. So I think at this point we've got a motion on the floor. We've got a second on the floor. Mary, did you have any additional comments? Okay.
No.
So then,
so long as the Sand District realizes that they're waiving about $84,000.
That is the consequence.
That's
yep.
the consequences.
You're exactly
now.
Right. Yep. Okay. How about we do a roll call?
Board member Ivey?
No.
Board member Brown?
Yes.
Board, Vice Chair Schultz?
Yes. And then I'm hoping that staff will make every effort to meet with everyone in the next two to three weeks to see if we can't arrive at some solution. And if need be, we can talk about a special meeting. But I think your motion was for 1 month, right?
1 month.
Okay. All right. Motion carries. Sorry, I'm scrolling down. I'm trying to be electric. Okay, miscellaneous items. Is there any oral communications from any board members? From staff? And I don't have any written communications. Does staff have any?
No, sir.
Okay. So at this point, I'd like our legal counsel to read our closed session items, and then I'll see if the public has any comments.
There are two closed session items. It's conference with legal counsel for existing litigation. Pursuant to paragraph 1 of subdivision D of section 54956.9 of the government code, two cases, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus State Water Resources Control Board and South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus Special District Risk Management Authority.
Thank you, Jenna. Is there any members of the public that would like to address closed session items?
Thank you, Chairman Scholes, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I would like to speak to the litigation in connection with the state and regional boards. This has gone on way too long. The settlement negotiations are uncertain in my mind what's transpired. You may recall that there was a change of venue in this case, and It was scheduled for San Luis Obispo County Superior Court. Then there was a neutral site selected in by way of San Francisco Superior Court. But lo and behold, it landed in Sacramento. Now, the significance of that, I think, is important because clearly that's where the state board resides, but also your legal counsel, the Downey Brand Law Firm, is in Sacramento. Now, one would think that would be convenient and perhaps cost savings for the district to pursue the litigation and slash settlement discussions right there in Sacramento. But I think in reality what it has done is put the Downey Brand Law Firm and the case right in their own backyard where they can manipulate the situation. The fact that you don't have a settlement speaks volumes about their effectiveness. The Downey Brand Law Firm and Melissa Thorne are experts in this field, that is, dealing with the State Water Board, and specifically mandatory minimum penalties, of which you have $1.1 million outstanding. Additionally, I think not only has the Downey Brand Law Firm let you down, but you've retained Mr. Seitz and his services as a co-counsel in this matter. And as you heard from the cash disbursements, this last month he charged $4,000. We don't know what the Downey Brand Firm has charged for this last 30 days. You'll know next time. But this is money on top of money. Hundreds of thousands of dollars that were spent in connection with the defense of this matter. Then on to the litigation. Where does it end? You heard earlier comments by myself that litigation and lawyers' fees take away from your operations budget. That's what matters. So I would encourage you in closed session to consider changing counsel, dismissing both Downey Brand and Mike Seitz. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close this to the public, and at this point we're going to recess into closed session.